is, darling, but is it art?
Nga Tai Fatu, Woven Dreams, is an exhibition by artists Arnie O'Neill and Nephi Tupaya, currently on at 10 Melville Gallery. Both artists members of the Pacific Sisters Artist Collective, the exhibition shows new paintings by Nephi Tupaya and a suite of Arnie O'Neill's crochet paintings in response. In placing O'Neill and Tupaya's practices in conversation with each other, intertwined and weaved together, the space embodies the whanaunatanga that fundamentally underlies the Pacific Sisters kaupapa. I had a korero with Ani and Nephi about the show, the Pacific Sisters, and their overall practices.
Kia ora, nā tātou katoa. Thank you, Sophia, for having us. My name is Ani O'Neill. I'm an artist of Cook Island Māori and Irish descent. My family lines come from the Ngāti Makea tribe in Rarotonga and Ngāti Titika and Te Tikapaka. And my dad's family comes from County Cork. We've never been there, but would one day love to go to Ireland. I was brought up in Auckland and did fine arts at Auckland University at Elam. My practice is sculptural installation and then working with body, with Pacific Sisters. We hate to say fashion, but, you know, we definitely rocked it in the 90s. And that's where I met my beautiful friend Nephi.
Kia ora tātou, ko Nephi Tupaya tōku ingoa, no Kahumunu no Tainui aho. I was brought up in He Ratonga, Mangawharau, Havelock North. I'm the youngest of five siblings. Mum and Dad came down to the Hawke's Bay. My koro's from down here anyway, so Mum and Dad came down to Hawke's Bay for during the urban drift, where whānau were looking for jobs, you know, they leaving their pukainga. It was very common back in those days. So here I am, 2018, tend to come and look after mum. So I've been here for like 8 years. I've been looking after my mum for 8 years and returned to the home that I was actually, where mum's waters, sacred waters, had broken on the kitchen, fell to the kitchen floor. So I say to everybody that I was actually born in this house. So my art practice is I do a lot of really self-taught. I've always been a self-taught artist. So I've always made and created things, usually tactile textiles, creating like the word fashion, garments, body adornments. So, and I left here when I was 17, where back in the day, back in the early 80s and 90s, you did that to where you had no qualifications or nothing. You just pursued your dreams and you just went for it and were really fearless back then. Had no idea what I was doing, but I did have my passion was to follow my arts. So, yeah, and I met Suzanne Tamaki and started making things together and joined together as Pacific Sisters, so it's sort of fruition into that. And then I met Ani and Rosanna and all these amazing artists, and Lisa and Fiona, and just got together and formed this beautiful, amazing sisterhood. So when I left Auckland, went overseas, came back to look after mum, I needed to pursue another career, which was exploring in painting and arts, and studied under the great Matua Sandy Adset. But then he was taken over by Tracy Keith, who became my mentor, my turakana, and everything, and my supporter, greatest as a painter.
You both spoke really beautifully there about the Pacific Sisters, of course, which has become one of the most influential art collectives in Aotearoa. I'd love to hear a little bit more, about like your involvement and how that has maybe kind of shaped your art practices as well. How has being a part of this collective impacted or influences your practices respectively?
Yeah, I met Pacific Sisters when I was just wrapping up my kind of third and fourth year at art school. We actually met, I was standing there with my friend Sue Lulu, who became Planet Tonga as a label. We were at university still. We bumped into Rosanna and Fiona going to a kind of a casting, and they invited us to come along and be models for the first Pacifica fashion show, which Rosanna was directing back in 93. So, yeah, it was kind of like, yeah, why not? I'd sort of done some theatre stuff while I was at uni with Pacific Theatre, and really loved doing collaborative you know, theatrical kind of performance, fashion show stuff. Been dabbling in it for a little bit, modelling and stuff. And so went along and got to meet the whole family. It really was like the, you know, there's Rosanna sort of talks about it like the Andy Warhol's factory. It was a little bit like that. And then the following year I entered as a designer and I actually won the show, which was hilarious. And Pacific Sisters came second from memory. Mm-hmm. And Suzanne was like, oh, if you're going to win, you might as well become a Pacific Sister. So they won the next year. And so yeah, the following year I did set design. So, you know, it's just sort of this great outlet where you could, if you were sort of had the time and the energy and the kind of inclination, you got kind of chucked a job. And we were all super multi-talented. We'd share skills and so a lot of the, you know, it was just sort of like full 360 shows that we were making, and we were all chipping in on set design, costume design, modeling, music, you know, you name it, A-Flight. And then it was kind of like, who's going to wear this? So quite often all the skimpy stuff went on to Fly. Yeah, but it, definitely the bravery, just being surrounded by people who you knew had your back and had your front and your upside downs, and yeah, just supporting each other through those times and making all these like really great events, and yeah, watching it all blossom in different places, and then kind of taking that into art spaces, which was really special with the I think the first major art space we kind of entered into together was with the Bottled Ocean exhibition when it came up to Auckland, which was in 94-95. So that's when it sort of turned into becoming an art thing as opposed to just a fashion thing. But we were always really looking at our stories, the stories that we sort of were really interested in learning about and how they connected across the Pacific and across different Moana people. So we worked with Lisa Ray Hunter as well with the Interdigitate at the Aotea Centre, which was like a, I think, 6x6 video, digital video wall experience, theatrical experience, and other artists were involved in that. And we presented a show called Ina and Tuna, told the story of how the coconut tree became sort of the story of how the coconut tree became, basically, through the love of a giant eel and a beautiful maiden, Sina Hina Ina. And from a great flood, Ina's job was to chop off the head of the tuna, the eel that came to her door, her lover, and basically buried it. And from that head grew the coconut tree. And so when you see a coconut and you see the three little dots, that's two eyes and a mouth, and you are drinking from a coconut, you're kissing the lips of tuna. So that's the story that we presented way back then. It's a creation story, and we sort of, we're just really using those opportunities to kind of expand our own kind of physical knowledge and living through some of those stories by kind of presenting them on platforms that we were lucky to share.
I'm so glad you started, Ani, because you've got a better memory than I do. Because we've covered so much, and over those years, it's like we've done so much. It's like when people ask me to break it, when I do talks and people ask me about how is Pacific Sisters, can you break it down in 10 minutes? I'm like, oh, hell no. So there's so much information and so much we've done. It's been, it's just been a journey of incredible talent and creativity and visionaries. So for me, the Pacific Sisters was all about manaakitanga and whanaungatanga. Like when I met Suzanne and when I met Favo Balipo at the time, when she joined, when I was living with Favo and Selena Palmy, it was like a community that I was really drawn to, because I was with my sister. My sister was living with me, Teresa Tupaya. I was, you know, a creative in a big city. We're country girls. We're from, you know, Little Hawke's Bay, Havelock North. And we were from a village. So to be exposed to the city life, it was like, wow, you know, and to be exposed to all these other, because Hawke's Bay is quite Pākehā-fied, especially Havelock North is a very Pākehā-fied colonial village where I come from. So to come into a space where there's tangata, moana, tanga people was like, holy shit, this is incredible. And to actually meet these people, not only that they were amazing, but really, really creative. So I found my people, I found my community, and to have Suzanne and to meet Annie and to meet Rosanna. And at that time, we were on the dole. Back then it was called the dole. and just struggling, really struggling to survive. And we had absolutely nothing, just lived on shoestring budgets. And to have this community as Pacific Sisters to look after one another, to feed one another, was the gift of what Pacific Sisters meant. And to not only that, to share everyone's ideas and to really tautoko everyone's ideas, and especially with me being Pakatapui and also trying to discover myself as a trans woman and being going through that transition, and my sisters surrounding me with so much love and so much support, was just like the icing on the cake. And they really, really protected me, all the sisters. And this is why Pacific Sisters, not only that we're this amazing group, but just we're family. We're true whānau. We're true sisterhood. So to me, we've done all these amazing things, but people don't get to see the true love of what Pacific Sisters is as a rōpū.
It's so beautiful to hear you guys speak about it. There's just so much love in the way you talk about it. And it's really special. And I can imagine those relationships in that community is, as you say, really special as well. I do want to talk, of course, about your show at Tim Melville, Ngā Tae Whatu, Woven Dreams. At the heart of this exhibition is the idea of this practice of an idea of weaving. And I'd love to kind of start our kōrero about the show, more specifically, I guess, starting with that title and these intertwining themes. What is the practice of, or symbol of, weaving mean to each of you, both personally and more specifically in your art practices?
For me, it's that connectedness. It's about merging our DNA, our whakapapa together, merging our stories together. With Ani and I, it was all about we've known each other for so long. It was about our connection to sisterhood, to the Pacific Sisters. So it was all that merging. It was like collecting stories. United we stand, divided we expand. So when I say that, it's like as a group, when we're together, we're so strong, but we merge in our bondness. So when we are separated, we're collecting new tools, we're collecting new information, we're collecting new practices. And again, that's weaving into our art practice and into our stories, where we can come together and share. So weaving to me is about connectiveness, sharing, and manaakitanga, whakawhanaungatanga, everything, yeah. So when you're weaving, you're embracing, you're holding, you're binding, you're making things connected and strength. Like I remember Ani was saying that as an artist, when you're a single artist, you don't get to do things as well as a collective. And in any tangata moana philosophy, collectiveness, unification is so important, as communities are so important, families are so important.
Yeah, I feel the same as Nephi, and that whole idea of everybody bringing their own individual kind of skill sets and knowledge and tools to the same basket. I think that's where Nephi and I really kind of made an exhibition that holds together really well. So some of the work, it's actually kind of led by Nephi, because Tim Melville, her gallerist, saw my work last year up at Stark White, which is my usual gallerist, and asked if it would be a good idea if Nephi and I had a show together. So that's how the show kind of came to sort of be in the first place, but he could see connections there already, but we were sort of on either side of the bridge in Newton, and he was like, I really want to see your work in my gallery. And I'm like, with Nephi, I'm like, I'd love that too. How cool would that be, to kind of share that opportunity of showing. I think Pacific Sisters, we get to kind of like go everywhere, fly, and just sort of share the love. So that was really cool to be able to do that. actually weave our works together in the same space. And yeah, I just loved responding to Nephi's paintings. So if you go in, you'll see her paintings came first, and I responded to them with works that really sort of directly kind of like lock into her vibe. But they're definitely different, but they're definitely vibing on the same thing. And yeah, I just love that kind of it's kind of like a tension and a friction, and you know, we kind of pull things together, and they hold and they stack and they're like magnets. And so I think when Nephi's in the room, she's just such a huge magnet. So yeah, it's so cool.
We're really excited when we put the color palettes together when you were weaving. Remember, we were so excited. We were like, "Oh my gosh, this is working! I can see the vision now. The vision's working."
I went down with Fiona to visit Nephi a few weeks before the exhibition to really kind of lock in, and I took a huge bag of wools, lots of colours that I thought would work, and sure enough, it was kind of like, whoa, matching, oh my God, so good. So we just did all these colour matches in her kitchen, and sort of were there for a couple of days and made a few works there, and then a few works in the car on the way down and the way up, and then had taken heaps of photos. And yeah, it was so much fun to make the show.
When Fiona and Ani did come over, mum's been having like quite major health issues, and my mum's 84, so she's just had these really quite serious admissions into the hospital. So I wasn't, even Tim and I, we weren't quite sure whether the show was going to continue. So there's been so much Modi that's been into this collection, like the Wairua. When I was painting and while mum was at home, just the emotions that went into some of these, especially with the stars, because these stars represent a healing sacred geometry, and they're about healing, so I needed to paint something that just healed. And I remember sitting in the garage just boring my eyes out, because it's like, how am I going to fix my mummy, you know? And I said, I don't want my mum to go. So there was all these emotions and Modi going into this artwork. And when Fiona and Ani came, and it just sort of put another level, another kick in the door. So, and it just brought another level of Wairua into the works. And so, but it wasn't sadness, it was complete joy. So there was all these emotions that was going into the process.
Yeah, no, it's so wonderful to hear you guys talk about, I guess, the genesis of the exhibition and responding to each other and what that looked like, and particularly in a time that feels so uncertain for you, Nephi, and to be able to create something really meaningful and special and, yeah, joyous, because I think particularly with, like, those colours that you're bringing into that space, you do walk in and you just feel joy from the works themselves. Yeah, it's really beautiful. I do want to talk, I guess, a little bit more generally on your practices. You both employ these quite rich traditions within your work, creating this dialogue between them and, I guess, the present. Are you each able to speak to this incorporation and how you kind of see the role of your tūpuna within your art making as well?
I work a lot with having conversations. Before I start my walk into the studio, I go to the lounge of the living room, and every Māori house that you walk into always have the death wall with all the photos of everybody that's passed, with, you know, all the nannies and all your tūpunas. So I activate the space, I activate my day by doing my karakias and doing my mihis and pepeha, and just, you know, and that just helps me to settle into myself before I start into the studio space. And that activates conversations with the studio, with the paint, and with the canvases. And those conversations will always be with my dad, with my Nana Charlotte. Those are the two that are always behind me and having conversations with them. So that's pretty much what my process, the beginning of my process, is always start with canvases. And as I'm painting, I do a lot of appropriation. So that appropriation is about back in the when I was in high school, back in the 70s and the 80s, that anything to do with Māori Pacific art didn't even exist in our world, in the school curriculum. We were always presented, especially in the arts departments, it was all about European artists. The only time when I saw anything that was remotely Māori is when I went to Tangi's and entered the wharenui and go to inside the wharekai, you just see, you know, you see all our carvings and pose, and, you know, that's the only time I was really introduced to the world of the old Māori art, toi mairangi. So schools was like predominantly European, and my artwork reflects that. And it reflects about appropriating artists like Gauguin and giving him permission to come into my space and allowing him and asking permission also. So there's always a conversation about the, you know, there's a lot of people that cancel him. You can't, I can understand why, but you, the thing is that you can't cancel that he's not a great artist because he's an incredible artist. So we have to remember that. And for me to my appropriation, because why I appropriate him, because when I was in school, I saw a book of Gauguin, who was like, oh, who's this woman artist? And it was like paintings of people, of our people, but not realizing back then it was all, you know, made up and fantasized. And so this is my way of reclaiming those stories that he's, you know, fantasized about through his lens. So it's like, it's my way of changing the narrative by adding my Ko Whaiwhai patterns, especially the Ko Whaiwhai pattern that I use, which is a pattern that's kahungunu. So which is the mangopare, the hammerhead shark. So I use that. So it's really changing the narratives of these colonialist artists, if you could say that. And I use stories of the history of my family, my mum's experiences, my dad's experiences, what happened to our people, what happened to my experiences, takatakuri. I work talk about things about the moving away from the urban drift, where our parents back in the day had to go and find, and a lot of families had to go and find work. So I my storyline's all about, about whānau loss experiences, connection, whakapapa.
So cool to hear you talk about your work, Fly. So in this exhibition, I've kind of come back into the painting realm for me, which is using crocheted circular discs and stretching them over like steel rings to make flat painting, circular paintings, which, you know, like on first glance look quite poppy, you know, linking back to Jasper Johns and Julian Dashbow even. So there's a really nice kind of minimal aesthetic that you get from a distance, and then you get closer and you see that they're actually crocheted. I made the first series of crochet paintings back in 97 at the Rita Angus cottage down in Wellington in Thorndon. I did that residency for 9 months, and I made a series of works called Cottage Industry, which were inspired by some placemats that she had in her cottage, and the kind of idea that I really actually wanted to do some painting while I was down there, but ended up doing crochet painting. So yeah, merging that world with sort of fine art world. But they're really fun to make, and I think they I've sort of done various iterations of crocheted painting works, and so I wanted to kind of use a slightly smaller hoop to kind of reflect and make really intuitive works that went with Nephi's paintings that she'd made. They were sort of like quite, you know, sort of fast turnaround and, you know, easy to kind of like produce, which is sort of, you know, in that kind of cottage industry vibe. I don't often make them, haven't done them. I sort of do like a set of them or sort of sets of them like every 10 years or so, so it's sort of a cyclic thing for me like that as well. But then more recently I've been doing these lucky dip works, which are a set of 40 random kind of combinations, so there's like, and they're quite small, but they can get quite big, but they're again in the style of a bigger work called Rainbow Country, which a lot of people would have seen in Te Papa. So, you know, there's sort of like this cyclic process response and kind of, you know, beautiful pop aesthetic, which is sort of like really fun to make for me, who's like in my real life, I'm quite a collector and a maximalist and kind of all over the place, and all my threads are messy. So to have something that's sort of like sharp and looking kind of quite, you know, slick on a wall, I really love to kind of play with that, because, you know, balancing it all out, it's, you know, especially next to Nephi's work as well, which is sort of so full of colour, like the combinations, the layers, the shapes and the mangopare and the colour combinations that are just like tripping your eyes out big time, you know, to have those kind of smaller circles, like those pinpoints of that moment kind of frozen on the wall, is kind of a really nice balance to her work. But yeah, I don't know what else, what more can I say, except I really love making these works. Yeah, to actually respond to Nephi's work was really kind of the crux of this particular exhibition. I haven't really done that with anybody else, so I named all my works after Tupaia. So just because I really, you know, they're really connected to her paintings. So you can, you know, reading into her paintings, you can kind of then see what sort of sifted through in terms of the content within my own painting. But a lot of it is really kind of like a personal response to her.
That was Arnie O'Neill and Nephi Tupaia speaking to me about their show Ngā Tai Whatu, Woven Dreams, currently on at Tim Melville Gallery until the 20th of December.